Jessica Handy works as a lobbyist for an education advocacy organization called Stand for Children. I've aired interviews with her in the past because she's got a real knack for explaining complex numbers. And to her, the most critical part of this story is the numbers, specifically some very long odds.
In July of 2016, I heard a story on NPR, and Amanda Vinicky was reporting about a bone marrow drive where she finally registered. It was something she'd been meaning to do for a long time. I sent in for my cheek swab, and I just did it. Actually, I did it sitting in my car.
A year later, she heard from the organization called Be the Match.
I got an email that kind of said, you might be a match. And then I got another call that said, like, let's go draw some blood. And then they said, let's go give you a physical. And now I give next week.
That NPR story wasn't her only inspiration. Jessica knew Diana Martinez, a member of the Senate Democratic staff, had donated bone marrow to a young leukemia patient a few years earlier. I interviewed them both, in case you can't tell, in a beer garden near the Capitol. Here's Diana.
I compare it often to, like, the day after leg day, but, like, not just when you sit down or move. It was just, like, there.
What does it do to, like, the heart and the mind? Does it do anything to that?
I have 5 nieces and nephews, and for me, one of the reasons that I was so willing to do it was thinking about them and, like, thinking, like, if they needed something like that.
Diana donated the traditional way, under general anesthesia, with big needles inserted into her bones. For Jessica, the process turned out to be a lot easier.
I will take injections for 5 days. That will cause my bone marrow to overproduce stem cells, which will flow into my blood, and then I'll give just like giving blood.
Those cells would go to a man suffering from an aggressive cancer. He's close to her age and probably shares her ethnicity. And that's all Jessica knew about him. That plus the fact that while she was getting injections to prepare her to donate, he was receiving massive doses of chemotherapy to prepare his body to accept her cells. A few days later, I asked Julie Tilbury, the former nurse who manages Be the Match, to explain what that meant.
The further we get into their pre-transplant regimen, the closer you get to point of no return, where they're ready to be transplanted, like her patient today is at his most vulnerable.
Julie was speaking to me on her cell phone from the hospital in Rockford, where Jessica was making her donation. Would it be possible for you to go walk into Jessica's room and...
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
I'm walking there now. Yeah. Okay. I'm right next to her now.
Hey, Jessie.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
That was more than a week ago, and she's had no news, which in the world of transplants is good news. But honestly, if it hadn't been her, it could have been someone else. About 97% of Caucasian patients eventually find a match. For Hispanics, that percentage drops to 80. For African Americans, it's just 66.
And the more shocking statistic to me was I heard 37% of biracial people will find a match. And I have a biracial daughter. If she would need this sometime, she would have a hard time finding a match.
Next year, Jessica and her marrow match could reveal their identities to each other. But Jessica was uncomfortable with the idea of gratitude.
I just feel like the gratitude that a family has when they need something like this is so much greater than the tiny degree of sacrifice that we make by giving up a day to go get this done.
While she knows it's a long shot, she's hoping her story might inspire someone else to do the same. I'm Dusty Rhodes.